Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Alaska health officials are considering moving teachers up on the vaccine priority list as students head back to classrooms in large numbers. Alaska Public Media reports that Tessa Walker-Lindeman, a vaccine official with the State Department of Health and Social Services, made the announcement about elevating teachers at a briefing with reporters yesterday.
This is a conversation that's being had. We don't have anything official to report just yet, but conversations are having about what these tiers will look like going forward.
So far, Alaska has put healthcare workers and elders at the top of its vaccine list, but teachers 50 and older, along with those who have two or more high-risk health conditions, are included in the next groups in line, along with other essential workers. But some parents and educators have questioned why a broader group of teachers can't be vaccinated sooner. MATSU Teachers Union President Diane Scheib says her members aren't lobbying to jump ahead of elders, but she says there's a sense that they should be prioritized in the next group.
These people are in there dedicated to in-person learning, but at the same time knowing and fearing that they could get this virus.
State officials say conversations about teacher vaccinations are happening both in the Dunleavy administration and among a scientific and medical advisory committee that's helped develop Alaska's vaccine policy. The state announced another COVID-19 death yesterday. An Anchorage woman in her 70s was the 252nd Alaska resident to die from the virus. The Department of Health and Social Services also reported 7 new COVID hospitalizations as of Wednesday night, with a total of 58 virus-related patients in Alaska hospitals. 7 patients were on ventilators. The DHSS announced 202 new Alaska resident virus cases statewide yesterday, including 40 in Anchorage, 30 in the Kosilvak census area, and 29 in the Fairbanks North Star borough. In the broader interior region, Tok and the Yukon-Koyukuk census area both had 1 new case. There was also a new non-resident case at an undisclosed location in the mining industry. A weekly COVID-19 data report issued yesterday by Anchorage economist Jonathan King says Alaska's 7-day new case rate average fell from 281 to 197, a 30% drop, while the 7-day average for new hospitalizations is down more than 75% from highs seen in late November. Lobbyists are banned from the state capitol this session because of the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. Alaska Public Media's Nat Hurst reports.
Welcome to the pandemic version of Alaska's annual political process. Lawmakers and staff are being subjected to regular COVID-19 testing as a condition of entering the Capitol, but the public, lobbyists included, are not even allowed in the building. Kodiak Republican Senator Gary Stevens, who ran a committee charged with setting legislative rules, says a number of lobbyists lobbied for an exemption.
They have a job to do, and they have clients, and there are several suggestions that maybe make sure they were tested and paid for on their own. But we just thought that, and it seems to me true, that we should not be allowing lobbyists in the building if we don't allow the general public in the building.
That may be, but the general public doesn't have clients paying them large sums of money to keep track of legislative developments or affect policy change. And for some lobbyists, in-person interactions are crucial. Organized labor lobbyist Heidi Dragas says she's trying to set realistic expectations for the year, knowing that the pandemic isn't going to leave the legislature with a lot of room for anything but the basics.
I don't hear anyone who says, I think we're going to get a lot done this session. Nobody is, I think, trying to tackle big, lofty legislation before they gavel out.
In Anchorage, I'm Nat Hurst.
The owner of a Delta Junction wind farm has proposed a larger facility to produce and sell up to 42 megawatts of wind power to Golden Valley Electric Association. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Fairbanks developer Mike Kraft proposes to build a 42-megawatt facility next door to the Delta wind farm that he says would produce enough power to meet local demand, including the city of Delta and nearby energy-hungry facilities like Fort Greeley and its missile defense base, as well as Pipeline Pump Station 9 and the Pogo Gold Mine 25 miles north of town.
The likelihood is most of the power that we produce in Delta Junction wouldn't see the light of day in Fairbanks.
Kraft and his partners have owned and operated the 1.5 megawatt Delta wind farm for 12 years. And during that time, Kraft has made several unsuccessful attempts to expand the wind farm and sell more electricity to Golden Valley. Like any businessman, he wants to grow his investment, but he's also a believer in renewable energy. He says he wants to use the wind power to displace electricity generated by fossil fuels like coal and diesel, whose emissions contribute to Fairbanks' air quality problems. And he wants to do that without increasing members' monthly bills.
I think we can improve the system. Yeah. I think we can improve the environment. And I think we can do it for less money than it's costing you now.
For this venture, Kraft has again teamed up with his Colorado-based partner and co-owner of a company called EcoGreen. Last month, they submitted their proposal to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and earlier this month, they applied for a site-specific interconnection tariff with Golden Valley. That requires the utility to review the project and report on, among other things, how it would connect up to Golden Valley's system.
My company has demonstrated its ability to install wind turbines in Arctic environments and remote communities and to operate that equipment for extended periods of time.
Golden Valley's acting member services director, Abby Dillard, says the utility's executives are reviewing the EcoGreen tariff application as required by state and federal law. And she says their analysis will ensure EcoGreen's project would enable Golden Valley to continue to provide reliable service at the lowest cost to ratepayers.
We're always open to different proposals, but in the end, of course, we're always going to be looking at what's going to work for the system, what the cost is.
Golden Valley Acting Director of Engineering Services Nathan Minima says the engineer's analysis will include a detailed study of how the utility system could accommodate the additional intermittent wind power, which ebbs and flows with the wind and must be quickly backed up with power from other sources. The study also would specify what additional infrastructure the proposal would require, such as transmission lines and substation equipment.
What impacts to the system there will be, not only from, operationally to absorb that into the system, but also what kind of infrastructure we would either need to build or provide estimates for.
Golden Valley must complete work on the tariff and submit it in early March to both EcoGreen and the Regulatory Commission of Alaska. The response would, among other things, set the price that Golden Valley would pay for the power. Kraft says if EcoGreen and Golden Valley can come to an agreement over the tariff, the new wind farm could start generating power as early as the fall of 2022. In Delta, I'm Tim Ellis.
Golden Valley Electric officials say their analysis of the EcoGreen wind power tariff application has delayed issuance of a request for renewable energy project proposals. GVEA expects the RFP to launch later this month. Amid pandemic restrictions, a Fairbanks North Star Borough recreation staffer has been recognized by the National Recreation and Parks Association as one of the nation's top 30 under 30. One of the ways the borough's Lauren Eck stood out was in the development of programs for a pandemic-bound population.
We started offering virtual special events such as an Earth Day celebration online. We did a stay-at-home 5K race, which had nearly 200 people to participate in.
Eck says the borough also offers downloadable board games, around-town scavenger hunts and puzzle walks, and craft kits for families to pick up at the Parks and Rec office at the Big Dipper.
It definitely was challenging. I mean, nobody really saw it coming. And then the quick transition we had, being shut down and then still wanting to offer things. Part of it was being creative in recreating the things we did and making them COVID friendly.
The National Recreation and Parks Association was looking for young professionals who helped others develop in the job.
There's some great Parks and Rec Facebook groups where people around the nation post their ideas. So making them relevant to our community here and just exploring tons of ideas, not only that I come up with myself, but with other people in the department.
X says there are more good ideas coming from the department this spring and summer. The top 30 under 30 recognition doesn't come with any prize, but X says getting noticed by the huge organization is an honor. I'm Dan Bross.